Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be quite the interesting one. Two subjects you're very passionate about.
Well, I am passionate about both of them, but disparate interest and arenas, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It won't surprise me if we find some commonality and some parallels. A little bit later in the program, we are going to get a chance to visit with Jackie Waits and Maria Rizzuta. They are with Urban Tree Cidery, but first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the president, the CEO, the grand poobah, the lady that makes it all happen over at an organization called IDG Vision Consulting and Training. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Dr. Andrea Bowens-Jones. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Can you share a little bit about IDG? What are you guys up to?
Yes, IDG Vision Consulting and Training is a organization that's focused on raising the performance of people. The IDG stands for Inspire, Develop, Grow. So what we do is we inspire the vision that we believe is inside of everyone. We develop them.
Everyone?
Everyone you. Has a vision. Even you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You don't know me very well.
And every organization has one. And then we grow people to in order to walk into that vision. So that could be anything from leadership skill development, personal development and training, just anything that they need to kind of grow into their potential.
Now, when you're at that beginning stage and you're saying everybody has a vision.
Yes.
It's not always the first vision that they think it is. Sometimes there's a bigger vision, isn't there?
Absolutely. I'll take myself, for example. I'm a trained chemist. And you wonder, why is a chemist?
So this is a logical kind of career path, sense. Right?
Yes, exactly. I spent a long time in school so I could talk to everybody else about what's inside of them. But that's absolutely what happens. Sometimes we walk into what is the first vision for our life. And then we get to a crossroad and have to make a decision on what's next. We have something burning inside of them. And a lot of people can't articulate it. Or they have barriers that prevent them from walking into it. And as a consultant and a trainer and a facilitator, and someone who I believe is gifted to do so, I help people to get past those barriers.
Can you share a story maybe of somebody who came to you and they thought, no, my vision is X, and then you started working with them and then they realized their vision was, you know, X times five?
Yes. We'll protect the names
yes,
for the innocent.
Him. Is it your husband?
Oh, I have stories about him. But I had a woman who I would say that she knew that what she was doing was something that was not fulfilling her, and which is how she kind of found herself in one of my training classes. And I do what is called mastermind classes, and those mastermind classes are 8-week sessions that help people to focus on personal growth. And before you can do any skill development, you have to grow yourself. And during the course of those 8 weeks, what she found that she had inside of her that she really wanted to do was be an author. She had been had a book in mind for years, had done a little writing, but put it aside, but was afraid to kind of go into it. So through a lot of coaching and getting over fears and barriers, she, by the end of the 8 weeks, was ready to kind of start doing that and actually start making steps in a plan to actually grow her skills to become an author.
So it's clear to me already, you are right where you belong.
Oh, this is my sweet spot.
It is. This is your groove. But what prompted the move? Because you may not have completely known that when you initially made the transition. Walk us through that a little bit.
No, I was corporate America bound and really thought I was going to go up the corporate ladder. And I think everyone reaches some point in their life where you're at a crossroads. Some people say, you know, forget it. This is it. I'm going to be content. I'm going to stay in it. And they settle. Or you get to the point where you say, no, I'm going to do something about it. And I was at that crossroad a little over a year ago. The company was going through changes, but I realized that as the company was going through changes, so had I. And when presented with some other opportunities to move my career in a different direction at the company, I decided it didn't feel right. And so I took the leap and said, hey, are they giving out packages? Can I leave and take some money with me? And the answer was yes. And when I took, when I made that decision, we're talking about free. It's like I grew wings that day. And
well, that was
wait.
On the drive home. But when you got home and you said,
did
hey,
I cry?
Hubby, pour me a glass of wine. I got something I want to share with you.
I'm quitting my job.
how did that go?
Actually, you know, surprisingly, he was in favor of it. He saw it coming long before. I think before you get to any kind of change in your life, you get an unsettling. And you're a little unhappy on the inside. You don't know why. But everybody around you kind of knows you're unhappy. You're the last person to find out about it. And I think that was it. So when I broke the news to him, he was excited for me. What do you need in order to move forward? And was supported through that process. Now, I won't tell everybody to do what we did. Not only did I resign from my position, we put the house on the market, packed up the kids, and moved. So we moved here last year.
All
at the same time. Wow. But it was absolutely the best thing we ever did for our family and for myself and career.
Now, in your work, how many people do you think, like what percentage of the population lives a life of quiet desperation by settling?
I actually think it's more than what we think. I think, especially if, depending on your age. Now, I think millennials may be a little bit different because their mindset is different. So if I don't like it, you know what? I'll move to the next job.
Right.
But for Gen Xers like myself and even baby boomers, you get a job and you stay in that job and you retire from that job. And that's the mindset. And so you get into settling and getting comfortable. And if you pack on getting married and having children on top of
that. Right, now you got responsibilities. Yes. Yeah. It's harder
so
to.
The risk taking goes down. So I would say the percentage, it depends on the generation and the mindset of the people. But I think it's a lot more than what we think.
So now when you're working with someone, they must be at some point of inflection where they're on the fence about it or they know that they have to make a change. So yeah. How do you kind of attract them to you?
Well, I'd say attracting, I think I appeal to people who are in transition. And as I look at the clients and how I advertise, everybody is not looking to move or change or even open to it. So I think first off, a person has to be in some sort of transition to even want to come after my services. Mm-hmm. But I offer everything from one-on-one coaching, which gives more time with me, and accountability partner, which is what I serve in that capacity, and classes. So some people just want to dip their toe in something and just try out different workshops. And so I offer those kind of services. And those typically attract people for a wide variety of reasons. So they may have an interest in one that I have coming up called Beyond the Box. And it is focused on, it's actually my epiphany on life. So you asked me earlier, like, what was going through my mind during that time? Well, that workshop is everything that was going through my mind at that time. It was being at that crossroad and actually helping people identify when you're in that box and strategies to break out.
So do you ever get like an executive, a decision maker in an organization, they participate in the process or they get to know you and they say, this was great. I wonder if you could fix Bob back at my shop. Do you ever, get
referrals?
Well, it's like,
or the more challenging
cases.
You're
working with an organization rather than an individual.
Yes.
Like, you know, they don't want to take accountability for themselves. That it's not their, they know there's a problem in the room, but it's not me.
Uh-huh.
Does that ever happen?
Well, you know, I'd say not that blatantly where they could not blame mm-hmm. themselves. Because I think the people that have been attracted to me see that there is something maybe not wrong with them, but they see that there's some change that they need. But I have seen people who it takes them a little bit longer to admit that what they owned in each part of the process instead of blaming each other. Mm-hmm. I'll give an example. In one of the trainings that I provide through Mastermind, they have a law. And this is 15 Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. And I'm a certified John Maxwell coach. So I use a great bit of his materials in my business. And it talks about the law of the mirror and where one of the first steps you have to do is you have to take that really tough look in the mirror. And sometimes people don't like seeing the reflection, but making them and you can't force anybody, you know, you just have to say, this is the mirror, you take a look in it. And I need for you to be able to own what you see in that mirror and own what you have contributed, because none of the success you want in life will happen unless you take that ownership. So I think I've spent more time with people that kind of get stuck in that area. And I have to spend a lot more time helping them get through it, but not to the point that people are so blatant to say, it's not me, it's everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I guess I've been lucky, maybe.
Well, I don't know. I think in my experience, the harder you work, the luckier you get and the more value you provide, the quicker and deeper you grow. John Maxwell, I think most of the people in this room have at least heard that name. Are there some things that are distinct about that type of training process that help you in marketing your work that really set you apart from, I mean, let's face it, there are a few other, mm-hmm. I don't know, life coaches, consultants out there.
Yep.
And if so, maybe you could kind of give us a feel for how.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it's a combination. Yes, the training does, because his name is known for people who are, that are familiar with leadership. So I can share his name and about the certification and the fact that I have been trained through. He's a part of the training. So not only is he present at the certification, he's actually administering some of that training, and you actually get access to his to the coaches on the team. So I do have that advantage. But I think the part when I'm really selling and trying to set myself apart from other coaches is, I think it's my experience. Spending 15 and a half years in corporate America in leadership roles, volunteering. I designed a program to introduce young people into science on a corporate level. That led to visibility. That led to awards being won. So being able to speak to someone who is starting a program, leading a nonprofit, working with volunteer teams, I've done those things. Speaking to someone who is leading in corporate America and understand what it's like to be in that environment and where people are getting paid to do a job, but you still have to inspire them to move past their own barriers. I've done that work too. So I think it's a combination of John Maxwell's name, but also Dr. Andrea Bowens-Jones and her experience.
So now, now that you're here in Atlanta, which for a you said a short period of time, a year, right.
July 10th.
Right. Oh, so like almost exactly a year.
Yes.
So how do you build your practice here?
I hustle.
Are you involved with some of the, you know, do you leverage your corporate background and working with other large corporations here, or are you going for
I'm working on it. So if you have some cars, please pass them on.
She has her own media too. you do a blog,
a video blog, right?
A video blog, Dr. Coffee Break with Dr. Andrea, that's actually produced by J24 Productions. Which is my husband's company. So we do combine efforts there. I write in a local newspaper, E-Metro Times. I do a column monthly there called Coffee Break with Dr. Andrea. And it's a way to share my teachings and empower, and I think in particular women. So
that's your sweet spot?
I believe so. I believe it is women. Even though I do men and women, but I think it's women in particular, because if I look at the people who are calling and the phone's ringing, a lot of times they're women.
Well, and they're smarter.
Oh, right?
I mean, they just
are. I'm so glad you got that memo.
I'd much rather work with women. They're smarter. They're more collaborative. They're better with money. They're more comfortable in their skin. They know how to build and cultivate relationships.
Yes.
And, I mean, I really am a proponent.
Oh, awesome. So, yep, I do that. I do a lot of networking events, local chambers. I do work with Georgia State with their women's program, mentoring programs, doing things that kind of help build not only the network, but visibility to me as a person and the skills that I bring to the community. So I'd say it's been a journey over this past year, but and that's why I said it's a lot of hustle. You know?
But is your work mostly with individual, like solopreneurs or people in transition? Maybe they just got laid off and now they're starting a kind of the second act or third act of their career, or is it you're working with large organizations to help them kind of have, you know, affect change in leadership within their larger organization?
I think it's a mix, actually. I have a little bit of both. I have the sole entrepreneurs that are looking to increase their skills and lead their companies to a different stage. And I think they can identify with me being an entrepreneur. I do have small businesses that are bigger than mine, but still considered small businesses that need staff development training, but maybe don't have the big corporate dollars for it as well. So I think it's more small business, medium-sized business than it is the large corporations where I basically lived for the last 15 and a half years, at least right now. But the vision going forward would be that it would be a mixture of all of it.
So you have some events coming up in the near term, summer, early fall, something like that?
I'm so excited about August 6th, Saturday, August 6th at 8:30 to 12 noon. And this is in Covington. I have an office in Covington that we have a training room in. I'm going to be hosting a workshop called Beyond the Box that I mentioned a few minutes ago. And this workshop focuses on helping people identify their, if they're trapped, if you're in that box and maybe in that transition, but you just can't articulate it. And I give them strategies to break through. It is fun, interactive, because I believe if you're going to spend that much time with me, we may as well have fun. And exactly. We may as well eat too. So right. Breakfast is included in this workshop as well. But I am hoping that every person that comes in will leave out feeling like they have a plan to move forward. It is going to be limited seating. So I only have room for 16 slots, and I've already sold some of those seats because it is going to be hosted at our training facility.
So it's going to be a very intimate setting where you can really dive deep. Now, if someone were to participate in that, they're going to get standalone value there, but there's a path to working with you more closely going forward. Share with us, if you will, what do the early stages of that look like? So if I get lead of this class, because I need, and he does well there, now we're looking at getting him working with you individually.
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? What are some of the early steps to get him on the path?
So the workshop is August 6th, right after Labor Day, the Saturday after Labor Day, I think it's September 9th maybe, is Mastermind group study. So that's the 8-week study. So someone who comes into the workshop, which gives you some tools to be successful, but you got to think, just like any other workshop you attend, you're powered up, you have a little bit, but there's no accountability of that person next to you. So the 8-week study gives the accountability in a group setting focused on personal growth. So taking all the strategies that you learned from one session, now putting it into that 8-week session, and think about how powerful the people come out. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The people are transformed when they go through this. And that one goes from September to, I think, 8 weeks, end of October or so. And then I also offer one-on-one coaching. So people who are looking to really live in that transformation and move forward is providing one-on-one coaching service. And that's something that I offer as well for people who have gone through multiple ones. But you don't have to start at one area to go to the other one. You can actually pick and choose whatever service depending on what your issue is and what you're looking to get out of it.
Now, before we wrap, do you have a piece of advice you can share with somebody who's thinking about kind of going on this adventure?
Yeah. You know, if you're really looking to make a change in your life and looking to live the potential that you have, I'd say invest in yourself. I think the biggest thing that people do is whether it's graduating from college or moving toward some other job, once you achieve that goal, people think that's it and that's all I have to do. And they become stuck so easily. Wherever you are, whether you're finishing college, finishing high school, already leading in a corporation, continue to invest in yourself and grow your skills. Because if you do that, then the success that you want will come. The organization will benefit from your investment. You will benefit from your investment as well. And then call Dr. Andrea Burns-Jones.
There you go. Or go to your website. What's the website?
My website is idgvision.com.
So I have a question for you before we wrap it. And I have a double agenda, one piece of which is to tee up this conference that Lee and I are going to be doing a remote broadcast at. It's the Business Writers Conference up at, where is this thing? Lee, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, Young Harris, Georgia. But it's where people are gathering who are writing a book. And we have a special promo code and all that stuff. And if you go to our website, you can get it, or just tell them BWC20 and you get a nice 20% break on it. But I wonder, is there a book in you? Have you thought about?
Have I thought about a book? Yes, I have.
Yeah?
I have thought about a book to be called Beyond the Box. Because
Beyond the Box.
Yes, that workshop, I can't pump it up enough because I know what's in it. And right. I know what I went through to produce it. That I believe that it is a message for others in it. So,
well, I hope
we'll
you pursue that. I do. And it sounds like you have the support system in your husband and your family that'll let you devote
awesome.
The time to doing that. Well, I'll look forward. And when you do, we got to have you come in and talk about it a little bit.
Okay. I would love to. My pleasure.
All right. One last time. best coordinates for someone to reach out and have a conversation with you, yes, learn more about your work?
My website is IDGVision. That's IDGVision.com, or call me at 770-648-3758.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. Thank you so much. Hey, can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, I think I found both of them jotting down all kinds of notes during your segment. So I think they're already getting value out of the process. All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us from Urban Tree Cidery, CEO Maria Rizzuta and assistant cider maker and event manager, Jackie Wace. Welcome to you both.
Hey, thank you.
Good morning.
So, Maria, I'll ask you first. Yes. What'd you learn, if anything, in that last segment?
You know, interestingly enough, I think what Dr. Andrea spoke about really tells the story about how our vision for our business came, mm-hmm, and how the beginning of Urban Tree started. It really did start about 5 years ago with my husband, who has a professional day career. I think he was at a little bit of a crossroads as well. Just said, you know, he's had a great career. He's done very well for himself, but he wanted to engage in something that was a little bit more of a passion and something that he saw that we could do together for the next phase of our lives as our children are getting older. We are drinkers of wine. We love cider and, you know, like many business ventures start, what started off as a hobby turned into more of a passion and then an identification of, well, hey, maybe I should do this more full time. So he started making cider in the basement. He was making it quite well. And then the idea just grew.
So he's like a bootlegger?
A little bit. I'm not going to tell you where we live. Yes.
So can you explain like cider and wine and beer? How do they all kind of, like, what's the
difference?
Yeah.
Well, you know, beer. Beer
so
is...
So beer is like by itself.
Well,
beer...
Ryan knows beer. Our producer knows beer very well.
Actually, I'm going to defer to Jackie on this. She's
defer
gonna be
to
able
Jackie.
To, so I don't make any mistakes on the difference between the three.
We actually get that question quite common when we give tours. And cider is a combination of both, actually. So it starts out like the wine process, but finishes like the beer process, mm-hmm, where you ferment apple juice to make cider, just like wine, grape juice, plus yeast. Then you can also carbonate and filter cider, which you don't do to wine. Champagne you can, but beer you do. So it's a great combination of both.
Best of both worlds. I like it.
So now cider, though, has alcohol or is there some alcohol component to it?
No, it's a fully fermented alcoholic product.
But are all ciders that way? Or there are some ciders that are just like kids' drinks, right? Or no?
Well,
or if it says the word cider, that means there's alcohol?
That's where some confusion comes in. In the United States, we've thrown the word hard in front of cider to make people understand that it's alcohol. Whereas cider here in the States, you think of what you get from the farmer during the fall and children drink. In the UK, which is as a mass consumption of cider in the UK, they just call it cider and they're not confused. It is alcohol.
So in America, we're confused.
A little bit about cider in general.
Yes. So distribution, where all can you find your cider?
So we approached our business model a little bit differently due to our extremely brilliant attorney. Most of the cider that you're going to find in the state of Georgia is being handled under a brewery license. We approached it a little bit differently and actually sought out a farm winery license. And in order to do that and fall under the farm winery, we had to acquire an orchard, which we did. But because of that, we have a little bit more flexibility in how we can manage our business model. That being said, we don't have to distribute like the beer distributors do. Mm-hmm. We have some decisions that we can make a little bit differently. Right now, we're not distributing. We've only been open for 3.5 months. So we're still building our brand internally outside of a tasting room, which has done really well and we're very grateful for. But we are working on expanding the business in all the directions that we can. And distribution is definitely one of them.
So what's it like in the tasting room? Because this is a very experiential sale, I guess, in my nomenclature, right? So what is life like in the tasting room?
It's wonderful.
So are there like several varieties or
Right now, we have 6 different varieties on draft. So our cider is all on draft. Yeah. We do have other Georgia-crafted beers available for sale and Georgia-crafted spirits. So drink local.
I saw that on the shirt.
Our other craft beverage makers.
Right.
But our ciders, we make at the tasting room. So we have a formal sit-down area and then manufacturing in the back. So you can come in and get a tour. Or you can taste our ciders. You can get a pint. You can get a flight. You can get a cocktail made with cider. We have lots of different options.
How about can you do a corporate field trip? How cool would that be if we took our local studio owner operators and we all went out? That would be a fun trip, I would think.
Yeah, so what is there to do there other than drink? Like, is it also where it's like a B&B or it's a hotel, or is it?
No, it's not a B&B or hotel. It really is a tasting room, a manufacturing facility. And it is also an event venue. So we definitely welcome corporate field trips. We love them. Jackie loves them especially. But we do, and we hold up to 300 people. Mm-hmm. We're in West Midtown, so we are perfectly located on in that area of town. We have cornhole outside for guests. We bring in local food trucks. So we're always trying to have music. Wow. So we're always trying to keep, a good vibe happening there in the tasting room.
And then where do you get the fruit?
Okay. So the fruit is sourced from the orchard that I referenced earlier, which is about 2 hours north of Atlanta in Rabun County. We work with a family up there who has had an orchard for over 100 years. It's a third generation orchard, family orchard. And we manage and lease the orchard from them. We source the majority of a good portion of our fruit from them. And Jackie and Tim get to make great cider from it.
I was just up that way on the way back from Highlands, North Carolina, and going back again on Friday up in that general
direction. It's beautiful
direction.
Up there.
Oh, it's gorgeous up there. And you can stop off at a couple of different places and get fresh vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So
the manufacturing, the orchard, those are separate things.
They are absolutely separate. And
why was that? Why'd you do it that way?
They had to have an orchard to go down the path she wanted to go.
Right, but don't like in vineyards, aren't they combined usually or not? Nah?
Not necessarily. A lot of your big vineyards and wineries out in Napa and Sonoma, they source the fruit from all over California.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll typically, if you see an estate bottle of a wine, that's typically fruit grown on their actual property, on their estate. But they will source in fruit from other regions.
Well, and orchards are few and far between in Midtown, too.
Yeah, it's
right. For now.
For now. So Urban Tree, where did that name come from?
Because they're in the city.
Well, yes, actually, we struggled for a name for about a year. And then finally, my teenage daughter one day on a car drive said, just call it Urban Tree. It suits. I'm like, okay, that works. And then that's how the name was born. And then our branding company kind of just went with that and created a really great vision for our product.
So it may be a little early yet, and I'm going to have you ask the questions because you used to host a show specifically geared toward family-owned business. But I'm kind of interested in the dynamics of running a business, with someone you spend a lot of time with.
Well, interestingly enough for us, there's 2 components to that because not only do I have my husband there with me, Jackie's my sister.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And Jackie's actually a chiropractor.
Yes.
Who moved back down to Atlanta a year and a half ago.
I could have used you about a year and a half ago.
Crossroads.
Exactly.
And I kind of drove down a road and was like, hey, hi, me, I need you. So you want to come with me? And she joined the team. And really, between Jackie, Tim, and I, we've really made some great things happen. I couldn't have done it without her. So it is definitely a family-run business. We have... during harvest time this past fall up in the orchards, that was wonderful. We had my 3 teenage children picking and pressing fruit because we did hand pick and hand press.
Oh, what a great story.
Every single apple.
Wow.
Which sounds insane, but we did it. And it was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work.
That's a great story, though. That needs to be told. That's a big part of the whole mm-hmm. branding, legend, whatever. So you've got to have some questions about running a family-owned business.
Well, I'm curious about how it evolved from... Your husband has a day job, mm-hmm. and he's working out there for the man.
And
right?
He still is.
Still out there doing it.
He didn't jump the cliff like our first guest.
He didn't take the class.
Right. Maybe you should. We need him to keep working.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. He's not ready for the class. And then, so you have this idea, or together you have this idea. Mm-hmm. Hey, we love cider. Like, mm-hmm. it could have been anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been a Jiffy Lube.
It could have. Although Jiffy Lube, I can't imagine, is as much glamorous as making
right.
cider.
Cider has got, there's a sexiness to it, right?
Yeah.
And then, did you have several things you were thinking about before you landed on cider?
Yes. I mean, it was an absolute evolution of trying to figure out everything you didn't want to do first.
So what were some of the things, like, you were considering that weren't cider?
North Carolina. Well,
It was always cider-oriented.
It was. Yes, it was. For about 5 years, it was. We were just plugging and chugging, doing the day job. He's a cosmetic dentist.
Right.
And I was helping run that business.
Right.
So we were still working together, but not really in a fun capacity.
Right.
So the cider piece came up, and I actually didn't buy into it for quite a few years.
So you weren't like since you were a kid, you had this thing for cider?
No.
It wasn't like that?
No. I think my husband's just a classic overachiever, to be honest, and he's never quite settled. He always wants to be doing more, which is wonderful, but every once in a while, it's nice to just slow down.
Chill out a little.
But that doesn't really, it's not how he's wired. So I always have to be on my A game, and we're always moving forward into something else.
So, but where did the cider bug come from?
From consumption.
So he's been drinking cider. He found cider. And then you're like, wow, how hard can it be to make cider? And you go to YouTube and you're like, how do you make cider?
No, we also started, we travel quite a bit and visited a lot of, I know where it actually started. It actually started by visiting Napa and Sonoma.
Okay,
we had been going there for years.
But it's like wine, I get, like vineyard wine. There's like a history of this forever. Like cider is kind of like this offshoot.
It's a small segment.
Right.
It's a niche though. And you,
And it is the largest growing segment in the alcohol industry currently.
We saw it as, quite honestly, an opportunity to get into the alcohol industry.
So you didn't consider a vineyard?
We did for a very short period of time and then looked, to the Georgia mountains and then kind of looked away from the Georgia mountains as far as wineries and just landed on cider. And we were actually going to put the cidery out in Dahlonega with a tasting room out there
right.
to kind of feed
off. So you're
going to
kind of use a touristy thing and do events and people get married and yep. visit and spend the weekend. You were going to do that path.
We were. And then he one day said, hey, I have another idea. Okay, what
He's
is
got
it?
Got a lot of ideas.
He does. He does. And now I just have to take a day okay. when he says I have an idea.
And he presents them just like that. Like the light bulb just went off, too.
Hey.
And you know it's either going
to
take...
start trembling.
You do. Like, this is going to cost a lot of money. This is going to take a lot of stress. How much more, do you want to thin us out? But yeah, one day he just said, hey, I've got another idea. How about if we do it in the city?
Hey.
Hey. Maria, you're going to... work really hard.
So, Jackie, how'd you get roped into this? Like, you were doing your chiropractic thing.
Minding her own business. Where, right along.
Not in Atlanta.
I'm a graduate of life.
Okay, so you were familiar with Atlanta
yes.
and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And my family's down here. Okay. We all kind of trickled down from the north one at a time.
Where were you living?
I graduated from life. I stayed here for a job about 6 months after graduation. I went up to the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania region for this amazing dream job
right.
that we all know is presented one way and reality is a different way. So after about a year and a half there, I was actually very unhappy, very settled, and looking for a change in life. And that was when Maria kind of said, hey, we're doing this great idea.
Cider life. Sign me up, right?
I can use you.
Comes with a shirt
and not use you.
I can use an extra set of hands because we have the same work ethic.
And she has a bad back, so it all kind of works.
Well, then, yeah. And I was looking for a reason to come back down south by my family, and so I did. And here we are.
All right, but at the dinner table, I mean, does it just consume other areas of your
right.
life?
Is it 24/7?
Work 24.
Yes, it does. It really.
But is
really
that
is.
In a good way?
I'm going to defer to her. I've been living my life like this for an eternity. Yeah. So
it is and it isn't. I mean, you need that off switch sometimes.
Right.
But any small business owner that's just getting started, if you really want to make it succeed, it does have to be 24/7. Mm-hmm. It just has to be.
Now, when I was working on this other show about family business, one of the challenges was like holidays and do you have other siblings? That's another challenge. Is there
we
just
do.
You two?
Jackie and I have another sister.
She doesn't work with us.
Right.
She doesn't.
So then that creates a little kind of sometimes friction. Sometimes it's
a
different dynamic.
Our age difference already takes care of that.
So there's friction from other reasons. But so how do you handle like holidays? like you're all together as a family, but you two
we
have
give
this
them
kind
cider
of,
and they smile. So,
and they just shut up. Cider solves a lot of problems.
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
That's what we learned from this.
Yeah, exactly. Solves a lot of problems. Yeah. No, I mean, everyone in our family has really rallied behind what we're doing. The sister that we referenced before, she's in between age of Jackie and myself, and she's a consultant here, you know, and she will do whatever. Come in and
right.
clean glasses if we need her to.
She was there opening day, busting her butt off.
Our parents come down. You know, my mother wants to know when we're going to plant more apple trees so she can maintain the orchard. She wants to be the beekeeper for our honey. I mean, everybody wants a piece now. when it was an idea, everyone was just kind of like,
sounds good.
We'll get back to you
Call
later.
Us in 5 years when it exists.
Now everyone wants to be a part of it because...
Cider life, man.
Truly, the whole family is involved.
Yeah, they really are.
The two youngest kids, the kids help us at the orchard pick the apples, but the two youngest are starting to bust glasses and come in and talk to people. And
so that's good. Yeah. You're role modeling this kind of lifestyle. That's got to be rewarding.
Teach them that, you know, hard work pays off.
Right.
Yeah, they see that. And
it makes you can have an idea and it can become real.
It can. Yep. It can.
Yes, it can. Yes.
So what do you need most right now? Just getting the word out and more consumers being aware of what you're doing and just spreading the news or?
Well, we are Atlanta's first cidery inside the perimeter. That's very specific. With that, and the question that you asked earlier is a question that we often get a lot. Is there alcohol in this? So a lot of people aren't familiar with cider. So yes, to make awareness of us, but also to make awareness of cider. And it's a delicious beverage.
I mean, people have been drinking ciders from, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, back when water wasn't pure enough to drink.
That makes sense.
You know,
so there's a whole education process to sort of build your market. You've got to inform your market.
Absolutely.
And that's why, I mean, you brought somebody with you here that helps you with marketing. And
we sure did.
Right.
And how is she related to you?
Yeah.
Kitsy's our youngest sister.
But no, it seems a little odd, I guess, but just like in the consulting business, a lot of that, I know I once had a real job in that world. There's a lot of education and distributing information in the consulting world. You got to do the same thing in the cider world. You got to educate and inform your market.
You do. I mean, Americans, like I said before, European countries have been drinking cider, you know, Spain, France, England, forever. And it is a common beverage over there in all of their pubs. Here, what has happened, because it didn't have a place in the American market, when it did finally enter into the American market, Americans put a spin on it and made it very sweet. People are under the impression it's a, you know, it's a Mike's Hard Lemonade, it's a chick drink. And you go over to England and you know, you talk to some of those farmers out there about drinking a chick drink. They will definitely argue with you that that is not what cider is. But some of your big brands definitely have sugared it up to the point that women are more likely to drink it here than men. And we are trying to change that. Really educate people about cider, what cider is, how strong it can be. And the type of apples that it comes from really changes the flavor profile to the point where it's not sweet at all.
Huh. Okay, but heavy sugar could be good for the other business, right? The cosmetic dentistry. So let's don't completely eliminate them from the marketplace. Let's just differentiate and profit from both.
And one shall feed off the other. Yes.
So now, what's next in the process here? So you're at this kind of beginning stage in terms of getting the word out in the marketplace. So what's the next steps? Like, how do you start, you know, selling it, distributing it? Like, what's the kind of vision?
So right now we are working out of a smaller model. Our exposure to people is just from our tasting room, you know, our social media posts, our event space, and getting some exposure of event space, we are hoping will get exposure to the brand. But we're also doing a lot of festivals. We are just this next week going to launch online sales within the state of Georgia. We can ship.
So you're allowed to sell it that way.
And that was a separate license we had to apply for. So we can ship within the state of Georgia. And I think that'll give us a lot of brand exposure. I have a lot of other things in the works as far as how we're going to move and expand. We can, under this license, open up 5 additional tasting rooms within the city of Atlanta. So I think that's an opportunity that I definitely would like to take advantage of, you know, strategically place our brand around the city and get that brand exposure we want.
We could have some Business Radio X tasting rooms.
I like it.
That's it. Every guest.
So if I'm coming up 4:40,
get rid of this water thing. Who gives that water?
We just have cider
out cider here, in the middle. Right?
You can clear your throat with cider better than you can with water. So if I'm coming up 4:41 on my way to the Highlands, would I be anywhere? No, where I go taste is in Midtown.
It is Midtown.
All right, so I can hit Midtown before I go.
We don't have a tasting room yet in the mountains, but you never know.
That's right.
It's on the roadmap. So if somebody wanted to go and taste, you're available. They can do that in Midtown right now?
Yes.
Is it by appointment or we have hours?
We have hours. Our tasting room hours are open every Wednesday and Thursday evening from 5:30 to 9. Every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. Saturday is from 12 to 5 and Sunday is from 1 to 5. And then we are open some pop-up Friday nights. We'll bring in food trucks. We'll have events. We have one coming up when we release a new cider variety. Jackie just released a Triple H, which is a 3-hopped infused cider a couple of weeks ago. And now you guys are releasing
a peach basil cider on July 22nd. That'll be a pop-up Friday night.
And then, so lots of opportunities to come and see us.
So then you just grab one of your food truck friends and make a night, an event out of it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if somebody wanted to buy or learn more, what's the best way to do that?
Well, if you wanted to buy and you're in the state of Georgia, you could visit our website. The online sales component of the website will be up within the week. We'll be finalized and up within the week. We'll be able to ship out bottles in different formats, different sizes. You can always come into the tasting room. Like Jackie mentioned before, we have everything from cider cocktails to our cider on draft to tasting flights. But also under our license, you can come into the cidery and buy product to take away, with no minimums or maximums on quantity. So you can buy it in the format of a 750 ml, which is what our three cider, original ciders were formatted into, or you can take product to go in a growler.
And for an event, like, what's a good event to have at your place?
Any type. What we've been really seeing recently is a lot of people are starting to book their holiday parties. Mm-hmm. We have a high school reunion come up. We are in Georgia Tech's backyard, so a lot of fraternity socials and sorority socials. A good-sized birthday party, 40th or 50. We've held a couple of those, and people have a great time.
What's kind of the sweet spot in terms of number of people you can hold?
We are fit to have 275 capacity max.
He doesn't have that many friends.
With our garage door down. And however, our space is kind of cool in that you can have an event for 50 people and it doesn't feel bare. Mm-hmm. But you can also have 200 people in there and it doesn't feel jam-packed either. So, I mean, around 100 people would be great, would be comfortable, and everyone have a good time.
All right. And the website again, UrbanTreeCidery.com?
Yes. But all of our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is UrbanTreeCider.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dr. Andrea.
Thank you.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.